Good morning, church. Thank each and every one of you guys for coming today. I'm very excited to be here. My name's Jim Arnold. I have the opportunity to speak to each and every one of you today. And I'm very thankful for that opportunity to share God's love with you, His mercy, and especially His grace. I'd like to remind you and our online folks, we have two books that are available for you online that you can email us at info@ohiogracebible.com. What we need is your mailing address. And we'd like to send two copies of our books to you. One is Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Terrence McLean. And the other book that we have available for you is Things I Have Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True by our own Mike Stewart. We'd really appreciate you reaching out to us. A lot of people have and have been able to be blessed by these books. So please reach out to us. It's at no cost to you, and we're not going to send you a whole bunch of other information unless you request it. So before we go to today's message, I'd like to go into prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and praise and worship you today. I want to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins, past, present, and future. Was buried and 3 days later rose again. I want to thank you that we still have the freedom in the United States of America to come together in fellowship and worship without being afraid. God, bless this message today. I pray that ears would be open, that hearts would be softened, and I pray that you would have full reign today. In Jesus' name, amen. Contacts are playing fun with me today, so this is going to be great. The title of today's message is called Fear Factor. Now, how many in our group today, by a show of hands, have ever watched the show Fear Factor? All right, the left side of the group, and not so much the right side of the group. Fantastic. Well, for those of you here that don't know what that show is, no worries. That probably just means you've been studying your Bible a lot more than me. So kudos to you. Oh, you laugh, I laugh. But it's true. I saw that bright smiling face back there in the back. Thank you for that quiet smile. But praise the Lord. That's what we're here and supposed to do as the body of Christ, as we grow in grace, if we've got a good preacher or teacher in the pulpit. We should out-study the teacher. Praise God. And while you're doing just that, always know never to be embarrassed or scared to ask questions and discuss things that don't sit well with your spirit, or that don't match up with our instructions to study and to rightly divide God's Word. That's how we all learn and grow in grace daily. That's what we should be taking away day in and day out. Amen? Just ask a pastor or a teacher of the Word, and they will tell you some of their best sermons came to them because someone asked an important question. Rule number one, and please, if you got a pen and paper, write this one down. There is absolutely, positively no dumb, ignorant, or stupid question that you or I could ever ask about this glorious book that we hold in our hands today. And for some, our bookshelves have held on to this book for quite some time. I'd encourage you to take it off the bookshelf, dust it off, and get back on the saddle. The ride's not getting easier in this life. We need to humble ourselves and find someone that we can feel confident enough to let down our guard with and ask the questions we have on our mind and our heart, so that we can grow in grace and not live in constant fear. Amen? Now, the Fear Factor show. Many of you have seen it or know about it. Many of you have not. That's okay. But this is a group of contestants that are challenged to perform a number of terrifying and or disgusting stunts. Some from driving a dangerous course to eating something really nasty. If a contestant refuses a challenge or fails at that challenge or has the worst performance in that challenge, they're eliminated from the competition and no longer can win the prize. Now, doesn't that sound like and feel like all or most of our Christian walk in life since the day we first stepped foot inside of a church building? We thought we were going to fail. We were willing to try, but deep down we thought, can't measure up. Seriously though, take a walk with me down memory lane, if you will, back to the first time that you were invited to a church by some happy, way too filled, joyful filled person or friend who wouldn't stop bothering you until you finally gave in and went. You didn't want to. You were perfectly fine in your own skin. You didn't need weird people looking at you all out of place. Somewhere you felt you didn't belong. But your friend, they had something about them that you appreciated. Something different. You thought to yourself, maybe I do need a little religion in my life. I mean, I've been pretty grumpy. My stress level has been up at work. My psychologist has upped my anxiety medications awful high. Yep, I'll go. I'll go to church. I remember when I was invited with a text from a friend who invited me. And I replied to him, and I told him, sure, I'd go. I'll go. But that Sunday morning came and rolled around. At that very moment, unbeknownst to myself, Satan kicked in quietly and deceitfully, like Mike Stewart preached about last week. And I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world do I wear to this place? I can't do this. If I dress up, they're just going to think I'm here to join in with their churchy shenanigans. Or I must just be in town for the holidays, visiting family, and I'm just in here to escape from a little family drama for a moment. But if I dress down, they'll definitely know I'm out of place, or not from around here, or didn't get the memo, or they'll think, I'm an awful person. That's it. I'm not going, and that's final. Ding! Verizon's horrible text sound came into my phone. I can't find it because it's under a pile of clothes. Reading the text, Jim, good morning. I can't wait to introduce you to my pastor. You're going to love him. See you at 10. Stay blessed, not stressed. Blessed, not stressed? Are you freaking kidding me? I'm 28 years old, and I've been dressing myself just fine since I got married. But be blessed? How about you be quiet, my friend? So you finally get dressed. You put a pair of khaki pants on, and a polo, and you look at your watch. I'm going to be late. You hop in your car, and you start heading towards the exact coordinates that you were given. A few minutes later, You pull into a huge parking lot with way too many cars and way too many people. And you slowly park in the back because you need time to contemplate, do I stay or do I go? You know, there is a flu going around. My fever temperature right now could be lingering around 99.9 or 100. So you sit and you watch and you think to yourself, why is everyone hugging each other over there? Who are those weird folks shaking hands at the front door? Aren't they worried about germs? Ugh. And look at the architecture of this building. How in the world did they afford it? You look at your watch again. 2 minutes later until 10 a.m. Well, the bouncers at the door have left. The coast is clear. You're headed in. We don't want that goody two-shoes of a friend thinking we can't do this. So we walk in pridefully. Uh-oh. We've been spotted. Our friend runs over, plants a big hug on us, and rapidly takes us into the unknown territory. The inside walls of the church. We walk straight ahead, eyes forward, with a goofy smirk on our face that is supposed to be a smile. But it's far from a smile. What? They're taking me up to the second row? Are you kidding me? By now, I've had to hold my breath as long as I can. Please, for the love of your God, can we quickly take a seat? Nope. Our friend is going to introduce me to everyone in the building. My cover is completely blown. I'm getting angry. I feel so out of place. I'm never coming back here in my entire life. My friend, this mission is completed the minute I can get out of here. The loudspeaker made a scrunch. Horrible noise that we've all heard before in the past. And the man in the old-looking suit took the stage, asking folks to please make their way back to their seats. My goodness, those folks got in their seats and quieted down fast, almost military-like. Yep, I'm at a cult meeting. I knew it. I knew it. Now, as I sat patiently, the pianist began to play. Folks stood up and started singing. I didn't know the tunes, but I know how to read, and I like singing, so I gave it a go. I was doing okay until the third song, where I held on to that note a little too long, if you will. Completely embarrassed, I ended my morning shower singing with people I didn't know real quick like. I felt like everybody in the building, every eye was staring straight at me. So I lip-synced and was real quiet. My smirk came back on my face, trying to smile and blend in like it wasn't me the last time. Thought to myself, I haven't stood and sang this long since choir in high school. Hurry up. Let's go sit back down real quick. The music ended. Everyone sat down. Finally, Now hurry up, preacher. The Browns are playing the Steelers today at 1 o'clock. Let's go. The message that day, the little I remember, was talking about some dude named Jonah, I think it was. Yeah, Jonah. And I had listened to as much as I could. Nothing really made sense to me. I will try to give you my best recap from what I remember. This dude, or minor prophet, as the pastor said, was given a direct order from the Lord and did not do it. In fact, he went and tried to run from what he clearly was asked to do. It did not work out for old Jonah. In fact, in his horrible attempt to run, he thought he could hide from God on a ship. Nope. God was greater and had a special need for Jonah. A special service that needed to be done. So God sent a big wind and a large storm about, took the entire boat and all its crew out. Until Jonah became humble before all the people there on the ship. He told them who he was and what he had done, encouraging them to toss him into the sea to end this turmoil that they were all facing together, to spare all of their lives. So, they chucked him in. At that point in time, the sea stopped, but the Lord hadn't. He had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Crazy. Wasn't a drowning death enough to satisfy this Lord, I thought? I listened intently to hear the sad ending to this horrific story. My mind was rushing. Get me out of here. What are these people praising and worshiping a God that would do such things? I've been fishing a lot in my life, and once the bait goes in, typically it's gone forever. But wait. Inside this great fish's mouth, Jonah decided to pray unto the Lord and discuss all the things he had done. I mean, come on, I'm not a praying person myself, but I think if I was under the same circumstances and they were flipped and I was in the big fish, I might pray myself. Jonah had plenty of time to reflect on his life and all that he had said and done. More than enough, I felt. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. There was something that struck a deep chord in my mind and my heart right then and there. This so-called God, or Lord, as the Bible referred to him as, sounded like a God who gives second chances in life. I thought about that for a moment. I can't recall too much about what else happened with Jonah, as I couldn't stop thinking about the God of second chances. I looked at my watch. What? It's already past noon. Half my day is gone. I was in charge of the beer and appetizers for the game. How do these crazy religious people do this? As I was looking to make a fast bolt to the restroom and sneak out quietly, the suited man stated, "Our pianist is now going to play a quiet song while we send around the offering plate for today's collection." It hit me. I knew it. After everyone's hard-earned money, that's how you've got this big, fancy building. But I fumbled around in my wallet, and all I had was a $20 bill. Nope. That's grocery money. And I quickly tucked my wallet back into my pants. The pastor smiled at all the people when the song had finished. And I could tell he was about to wrap things up for the day. Thank whoever's God, I was ready to go. The game was about to start. As I sat there, patiently waiting for this very uncomfortable day to end so I could go on with my business, the pastor began to speak. Beloved, while there are many saved individuals here today, we know that there may be someone here today in our presence who is not. Even if you don't know all of God's Ten Commandments, or the 613 Jewish commandments in the Old Testament, the Holy Bible declares everyone is a sinner. And the punishment for that sin is death. And right now, the death toll is still lingering at 100%. We don't have time to cover all of the laws, but we'll cover a few of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Have you ever in your life worshipped anything more than you worship God? You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Have you ever hurt yourself before with the old hammer and let it slip? Yeah, me too. Honor your father and mother. Are you the poster child of a kid that's always shown love and grace to your parents? You shall not kill. Maybe you've not physically done this, but has the thought ever crossed your mind of you wishing or hoping a person would just die? You shall not commit adultery. Have you ever looked upon a man or woman with lust in your heart? You shall not steal. That even means that number two pencil in fourth grade that wasn't yours. Clearly, we've all broken at least one thing that God has commanded us not to do. If we're honest with ourselves and God, we've broken them all. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, a sinless man, fully God and fully man, living a perfect life. He came unto his own, and his own knew him not. And if you don't understand what that is, please look into it. Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross, died a horrible death, and God took his anger and wrath of sin and put it upon his Son, Jesus Christ, as full payment for our sin death, yours and all of mine standing here before you today. And through the Apostle Paul, we now know the mystery that was hidden from times past for salvation. The gospel of the grace of God message, which for many today is still a great mystery not yet revealed to them. The gospel of the grace of God, the free gift of salvation that you must receive and stand, not believing in vain, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that 3 days later he rose again, according to the scriptures. No man or woman can be saved in any other way from hell for their sins If you'd like to do that today, to receive it, to believe it, you'll never again have to worry about your salvation. And the reward is an eternity in heaven with Almighty God. Amen. Hell was not designed for men and women. It's a personal decision only you can make. Are you under all the 613 laws? If so, never break one of them, or you're guilty of them all. And if you don't believe me, look in the Bible. You're either under law and you follow all of them, or you're under God's wonderful grace. Amen? Are you saved by grace? Are you still finding yourself under the law? As I walked out of my friend's church that day, I was thinking about old Jonah. I was thinking about my entire life. But I knew beyond a doubt what I wanted to do. I too wanted to be God's child. But I knew in my heart and my mind that I couldn't measure up. But I started to get a glimpse of the man, Jesus Christ, that did measure up. That day, I received the best gift a man could ask for, a second chance to enjoy grace, period. Now, while life in general can make us feel like an emotional contestant on the game show Fear Factor, let us always remember the glorious gospel of the grace of God. When life is just a little too much to bear, it humbles us every single time. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And last but not least, if you're tired of playing religious games, if you're tired of constant behavior modification that you can't do, only Christ within you can change who you are from the inside out. If you're ready for that, if you're ready to understand right division, everyone divides the Bible in some fashion or another. It doesn't make anyone a hyper-dispensationalist by knowing God more clearly to whom He is speaking to. If that's where you're at right now, if you're ready to really understand your Bible on a whole nother level, would you visit us at Grace Bible Ambassadors in Uniontown, Ohio? Or even take a peek on our website at all the wonderful information that is there to help you learn and grow in grace. We're not a cult. We have a small gathering of believers that believe this book from cover to cover, that want to teach you about grace on a whole nother level. Not so that you can run around and be prideful. Not so that no one's looking to break up your party of where you're at and what church you're attending. But if that church that you're in, or if you're pastoring a church and you're putting your congregation under the law, any of them, you are not doing what God is commanding you to do today. So I beg you, preacher, teacher, if you're trying to make every single person be under your law and not under grace, please stop and learn how to rightly divide the Scripture. Here at Grace Bible Ambassadors, week in and week out, we bring you a message. We bring you something that you can take away with verses and scriptures to study. But it does no good to take this book home with you and put it on the shelf. Write down the verses. Study the verses out. Don't believe what any pastor or teacher says up in this pulpit. God has told you to study to show thyself approved, a workman under God that needeth not to be ashamed, to rightly divide His word of truth. God's not playing games. He wants you to understand this book on a whole nother level, but He will not open your eyes and take away any scales away from your eyes until you stop being religious, until you start digging deep and seeking and facing God Almighty. As it states in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you believe it? If you do, stop debating. Stop arguing. God had different spokesmen at different times speaking to different groups of people. We're not out there building an ark today, folks. We are not out on the Great Commission. We are on a Grace Commission. And if there is anything that I can tell you today, relax. Be calm. But please, study the Word of God. If you don't, God will wake each and every one of us up in His own creative way. He will stir the soul and encourage the soul to pick up this book. But what He won't do is, He will not force you to study it. He will not force you to rightly divide it. But if you do want those golden nuggets that are available to each and every one of us, take God seriously. Come to this book with a humble heart. Ask God to show you the truth, and He will show you none other. Or you can continue to go to a different church for all the activities, for the vacation Bible school, for the babysitting of your children. There's a lot that needs to be done, church. The body of Christ is still here today for a specific purpose. And that's to share the gospel, the grace of God message. Everything that we come and learn on a Sunday, when we walk out of those doors, we must season everything that we say and do with grace. It has to be done. That is the only way that hearts soften, that eyes are open, and that ears can hear the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul, that none of the other disciples had. If they did, think about this, if they had the message, why would there have been a 13th apostle? Church, we're going to be gathering over the next couple of weeks with our family and friends. I pray that we would have a mighty opportunity. Maybe this year is the year that a son or a daughter understands what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. That's my prayer. Not that we force anything upon anyone. God doesn't do that. But maybe this year, maybe they ask a question. Would you prepare yourselves for that? Would you prepare yourself by studying the Word and being able to come with an educated answer, not based on your opinion or your thought, and share what the Word of God says? And then you let God do His work. You let God's Holy Spirit within that person. If they're a believer, let that Holy Spirit do the work that the Holy Spirit does. There's a reason why we have a small church here today. There's a reason why we have gathered today You know, there was eight that got on Noah's Ark. There was eight. Think about this. There was eight that got on the boat. You had Noah, one of the best preachers, grace preachers of his time, 120 years of preaching and telling people, I'm building this boat for a reason. You're going to need to get on it. When I say get on it, it's time to get on it. Guys, it's time to not be ashamed of right division of the Holy Bible. It's time to share it seasoned with grace and love and mercy. Let's not play religious games. Let's get to business studying God's Word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've all had that moment where we've gone to church for the first time, where we've invited someone, and that's an awkward moment. But we still need to invite our friends and family to church. Whether they accept the invitation or not, it's important. Give us the faith and courage and strength to do that. Whether they come or not is up to them. May we never feel like they have to come to our church. But we do ask, Lord, as humbly as we can, soften hearts, open eyes so they can see, open those ears so they can hear. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.